Today, in the reading from Luke, we heard the story of Jesus as a boy in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this story has two different sides. The first side is from the perspective of the 12-year-old Jesus. He was just doing what he felt he should be doing. He was in the temple, talking to the rabbis and allowing himself to be taught. As far as he concerned, this was the right thing he was doing. What could be better than being in God's house? Perfect 12-year-old logic. Then there's the other side of the story. The perspective from Jesus' parents. They're on their way home from what I picture as being somewhat like a big Christmas family reunion. It's been a good time, it's been a bit hectic, and just don't have any energy left. They're just glad Jesus is off playing somewhere with his cousins. They can get a bit of peace and quiet finally. But then night comes, and then they realize they've just been taking for granted that Jesus is there. But now that they're actually looking for him, they can't see him anywhere. They start looking around the camp, asking people if they've seen him, but nobody has. Now, I'm not a parent, but I can just imagine the terror that Jesus' parents would have felt. Where is he? Did he get left behind in the city? Did he start the journey with us, but something happened to him along the way? First, they might think to themselves, well, the road we've been traveling does have a reputation for being dangerous. Maybe he lagged behind the rest of the group and was attacked by bandits. Then, they might think to themselves, it could be even worse. What if he didn't come along with us in the first place? He might be stuck all alone in the big city. Anything could have happened to him. Jesus could be lost in the hustle and bustle of the big city, and we might never find Jesus if we have to look through the whole city. It took them 3 days to find Jesus. 3 days of looking in all the wrong places. Now, I imagine Jesus' parents like my mother. If this was my mom, she would assume the worst, so the first place she would check is the morgue. Since she'd assume that I had died in the most horrific way possible. Then she'd check the worst parts of the city, assuming I was in terrible danger. She'd go down the list one at a time, starting at the worst possible places and slowly working her way up. And then after 3 days, finally, in the least likely place it could possibly be, in a nice safe place, looking in the temple, and there he is. Well, after reading this story, I find that it can really apply to our lives today. Just like Mary and Joseph, we can lose Jesus without even realizing it until he's been gone for a while. We just took it for granted that he was with us, but all of a sudden, we realize he isn't. I think at some point, we have all felt like we have lost Jesus. He was so present just a minute ago, but where is he now? Then, like Jesus' parents, we start to wonder, well, when did we lose Jesus? I don't remember losing him. When did I see him last? Well, then you start to get afraid, much like Mary and Joseph. Well, maybe he's gone forever. What if I never see him again? Did we lose him while we were traveling down a dangerous road? Have you gotten caught up in bad habits that have steered us down a road that is taking us away from Jesus? What this dangerous road is different for all of us. It can be big things, like alcohol, drugs, gambling, which take us away from Jesus. But it can also be just the little things that slowly take him away from us. The example that I'm most familiar with is the example of laziness. I feel that most of us are lazy at some time or another. At least I know I'm guilty of it far too often. Maybe you don't want to get out of bed on a Sunday morning when you can just sleep in instead. Does it really matter if you miss church just this once? Or maybe you just can't be bothered to go out and help those who need your help. I'm sure someone else will help them. Maybe you're too lazy to pick up your Bible and read it. Well, I've read most of it already. I've got the rest of my life to read it. I can put it off for now. There are always little things like this that become so easy to justify and can lead us away from Jesus without us even noticing. Perhaps the dangerous road you find yourself on is one of envy. Maybe you see things that other people have in their lives and you start to get jealous. Maybe it's material goods. Maybe it's their nice house, or their car, or their brand new big screen TV. But maybe it isn't even the material things you covet, Maybe you're jealous of your neighbor's family, of how happy they are. Maybe you are jealous that they're happily married while you're still single. Maybe you're jealous that they all seem to have grandchildren while you are still waiting for grandchildren of your own. Even though these things are all good things to have, good things to want, if you're not careful, it can lead you down a road that will blind you to anything else, and you'll have a hard time seeing Jesus. But maybe you didn't lose him on a dangerous road, you start to think. Maybe we lost him in the big city. Sometimes in life, we get caught up in the hubbub of day-to-day life. Little things add up quickly. Work, chores, volunteering, grocery shopping, driving the kids here and there. And then you just have to have a little bit of time to yourself once in a while to maintain your sanity. And then the holidays come around and you're even busier. You've got school plays, work Christmas parties, family Christmas parties, gift shopping, cooking, and cleaning the house. You get busy, and you just don't have time to pay attention to Jesus. But it's Christmas time, so he must be around. It is his party, after all. In the meantime, everything has to be perfect. The food has to come out right, and at the right time, and the place settings have to be just right, and the house has to be just right, and you have to have the perfect presents for the right people. And you let the stress of the Christmas season overwhelm you. And then, afterward, when some of the hecticness dies down, you start to realize that you might be missing Jesus. When was the last time you saw him? When was the last time you felt his presence? Well, now it's time to start looking for Jesus. So you think back. Was Jesus in that Christmas dinner that seemed so important at the time? Well, I guess not. I was too busy making sure that everything was perfect. Was he in the parties that you went to? Well, not really. I was too busy trying to impress my friends to have time for him. Then after looking for a while, you realize that he has been right where you should have been looking all along. He is with his father in his father's house, just where he was when Mary and Joseph were looking for him. So where do we find Jesus when we're looking for him? The first answer that comes to mind is exactly where Mary and Joseph found him, in his father's house. So we come to church to be closer to Jesus, and we sing songs and praise God. We listen to God's word in scripture reading. We learn and are reminded of things we already know through sermons, and we come to God with our hopes, joys, and sorrows through prayer. But of course, there's other places where we can find Jesus also. The alternate translation for verse 49 from the John text is, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be about my father's business?" We find Jesus wherever his father's business is being done. We can find him in feeding the hungry and in helping the downtrodden. Perhaps this means going and volunteering at a soup kitchen. Maybe it means donating to Winnipeg Harvest. Or maybe it means buying a homeless person on the street a meal. Maybe it means helping an elderly neighbor with tasks that they can no longer do themselves. Perhaps it means visiting the sick in a hospital or visiting the elderly in personal care homes. Perhaps it means visiting those in prison. These are some of the more obvious answers that come to mind when we think about where we can find Jesus. But if we look for him, we can find him anywhere that God's work is in action. And there is the true joy. God is acting in every part of our lives if we let him. In the Colossians text, we are told, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We find Jesus by changing our attitudes. Instead of an attitude that focuses on what we want, we instead need to focus on an attitude of what God wants. And what does God want from us? He wants us to respond to the love that he has for us. He wants us to remember that what we have is a gift from God and give thanks to him in all that we do. We need to remember that whatever we do unto others, we have done unto God. With the right attitude, you'll find that Jesus is always with us in everything we do. If we do as the Colossians text says, and we clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, if we bear with each other and forgive one another, if anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Paul admonishes the church in his letter to the Colossians to love above all else, to love God and to love one another. So too are we admonished to do everything we do out of love in the name of Jesus and to give him thanks for all that has been given to us. It is when we do this that we are doing our Father's business. When we do this and when we do it out of love, then we are in the house of God. And that is where we'll find Jesus. So go forth with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and above all else, love. And find Jesus wherever God's business is done. For wherever the work of God is done, that is the home of God.